Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up, friendos? It is In This League live right here on Sports Grid.
Get on the grid.
Damn right. That's what we're doing here. We got a packed show for you. Casey Bubba talking some football and XFL with Bogman in the third hour. But maybe the most important thing on this three-hour tour that we have for you. Baseball is officially back.
It's back.
It's
back. Let's go.
All the guys reporting first workouts officially went down on Thursday. I even went down to one of the backfields of one of the teams on Thursday as the guys were getting their first workouts in. Yeah, that's right. There was some early stuff on Tuesday. Plenty of the players were already here, but they're slowly starting to trickle in. And probably the biggest one of note, and I don't know when or really, even if I will battle through this before the game that we are going to see said player, but Mookie Betts officially in the Dodger blue, and he was seen at Camelback Ranch. I saw some video of it that the Dodgers and Camelback Ranch tweeted out saying, he's here, and he was hitting BP.
They were like, they were the Dark Knight when they reported.
Yeah.
He's here.
Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts, he's here.
It's exciting. I can't even do it. My allergies right now. I can't even do the Matt Harvey. It's really the Matt Harvey impression.
Mookie Betts, I wish I had a job. This is stupid. Where's Bane?
Where did you say that White Castle is?
But Mookie Betts officially in the Dodger blue reported, and I had somebody, and it was on the backfields, and someone was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to Camelback Ranch, you know, tomorrow to go see that Mookie Betts. And I was like, good luck. And they're like, oh, why? It kind of crazy over there. And I was like, let me tell you something. There are probably not short of, let's say, 300 to 400 people normally, and how the backfields of the Dodgers work right next to the White Sox. And it's actually embarrassing because the White Sox would get like 30 people that'll kind of hang around the gates and, you know, get autographs and see the players. The Dodgers, you have to be one of the you have to get there before they open the gates to wait in line for their portion. So then you can then get to where they have this. It's a path where the players walk through from the building to the field, and they put up, you know, these stanchions, and people rally around the stanchions. With Mookie Betts and David Price coming in, I'm going to guess there's going to be, it's not going to be short of 500 to 600 people trying to get to Clayton Kershaw and Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts. Dodgers fans, they don't joke around out here in Arizona, and Mookie just added to the chaos.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be busy like you're talking about, but there's no way that this is a bigger deal than Ohtani, right? Like, Ohtani was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Ohtani was a big deal too. You know what? Memory I have was they'll do these unsanctioned like sim games, and Ohtani, I think this was last year, could have been the year. No, yeah, it was last year. And Ohtani was word got out that he was going to throw this unregistered game against, there were some of the Angels minor leaguers, and I'm honestly, I don't remember who it was. It might have been against like Tijuana or something.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that, because didn't they have a little person as the bat boy?
They did. Yeah, you're right. You know what? It was a Tijuana, because this one dude just rocked this one home run. That's who it was. So, you know, this is all it is like through Twitter, and it was at the Angels Stadium, and you could just walk in. And I'm telling you, dude, there were probably 50 scouts, and there were probably 250 to 300 people. I know that doesn't sound crazy, but just think about, this is a game that has no publicity whatsoever.
They're like little league fields,
yeah,
too.
Well, no, this was in the Angel Stadium.
This was in the big stadium?
Yeah, but there was no game there that day. So that was the whole point. Okay. There was no game to be played there that day that was on the register, but it was just this game, and it was, you know, to see whatever it was, two innings of Ohtani pitch. That was big, but I don't know, man. Dodger fans are something else, and the push is already happening, and thankfully Arizona is not riddled with the Astros nonsense, which we can talk about here in a little bit. It's just Mookie mania.
I was at the 2014 All-Star Game in Kansas City, and there were so many Japanese reporters there for Darvish that me and my buddies got interviewed by a guy.
Really?
To like. Yeah, he was just basically like, hey, are you guys here specifically to see Darvish? That was pretty much his entire line of questioning and what did we think of Darvish and all that kind of stuff, just to kind of get like the local reaction, I guess, to, you know, this international superstar. And, you know, I was talking up Darvish pretty hard, obviously. That's always been the case with me. But it was crazy. It was crazy. And there were almost just as many Japanese reporters to see, like, you know, the three or four Japanese guys that were in the All-Star game as there were to see just the regular All-Stars.
Yeah, and that never goes away. And that never, yeah. I mean, the Ohtani stuff is still there. I actually was kind of bummed. One of the things, I went out to Pure Sports Complex and I was over on the Padres side, you know, checking out. I got to see Chris Paddock throw a bullpen session. Fernando Tatis Jr., who, by the way, looks bigger, which is like ridiculous. I was out there to see him. No Manny Machado. So can we break news? Even though they don't have to report yet. I don't think they have to report till this weekend, Bogman. Manny Machado, not with his teammates.
Oh, whoa, what a shock. Manny's all about Manny.
Yeah, but I didn't go on the other side, and I was told on the other side that Ichiro was just hanging out with everybody. Ah. And I was like, oh, man, I miss Ichiro. So what I'm getting at is, to this day, when I've gone over to the Mariners side, there are 7 to 10 reporters on any given day on the backfields of the Mariners waiting for a glimpse of Ichiro when he's there, like when he was playing and or when he's around. And I think he, you know, he's got a piece with the organization. Like, they're always there waiting for him. And that isn't going to change. So, like, imagine Ohtani. Imagine Angels and Dodgers in a spring training game with Ohtani and then Mookie Betts.
It's just crazy. It's craziness. And by the way, I think I mixed the years up. I was in Kansas City, so that was 2012. That was way before we started doing anything. So, but yeah, I remember there was a guy there, a Japanese dude there, just with a gigantic fat head of Darvish's head. And I was, you know, may have had maybe one too many drinks and got several pictures with that guy. I'm like, let me borrow this real quick and hold it up, dude. I got to get this picture. So there's plenty of pictures of me holding up the Darvish fat head. So
I love this time, though. I love when, you know, the guys are starting to get in. I mean, Paddock threw his first bullpen session and people are getting excited about that. But it also comes with the name. I mean, and getting to see, you know, Mookie Betts in a Dodgers uniform, which, by the way, Bogman and I have locked down, did it days ago, Dodgers Diamondbacks, February 25th. And just, you know, gotta hope it's only like the third or fourth game that Mookie Betts is going to be playing in that one.
It's going to be all scrubs. Did you see if... Yeah. Are the Dodgers in split squad or
no? It's not split squad. I made sure about that. Like, okay, we're avoiding split squad, so we've got an opportunity to see Mookie Betts. You know, sometimes what they like to do is split up the studs a little bit, so you might get, like, you know, Bellinger and Muncy, and then a different, you know, then Betts and someone else will sit and they'll do that type of stuff. But
in general, they make the younger guys go on the road, like in those games. So, like, if you're a vet, you get to stay at your home park because it's all stuff that you know. And if you're a younger guy, you have less than 5 years experience, you're going on the road.
Yeah. So. And this is a road game for them, but hopefully we'll be able to. You know, hopefully,
since it's the only one, he should be playing. We'll see.
Yeah, we'd hope so. But it also comes with other, like, weird stuff. You know, it's other, like, weird stuff that happens. Like, the first reported day with the White Sox, it was three things right out the gate. Yasmani Grandal was dealing with an injury. Gio Gonzalez had, like, a rib injury. And I'm completely forgetting who the other guy was. Was it Nomar Mazara or?
No, it was.
Gio Gonzalez, Yasmani Grandal. Lucas Giolito.
Giolito with the rib cage.
Those three all had injury stuff that was going to, it's not going to like sideline them for a long time, but just a little bit. And then we got another one.
It's like, come on, we just started.
Yeah, it just says it's going to slow them. So they're probably not going to play, which, by the way, it's like, you know, two kind of vets in there. It's not surprising that vets would get, you know, a little bit more time off just to do some warm ups and stuff. But then we got the first like ridiculous dumb injury of the year. Mike Leake with the Diamondbacks fell on his basketball court chasing his dog, and he hurt his wrist, and I think he has a fracture in his non-throwing wrist, and he probably is going to miss, you know, he's going to miss, I imagine, at least three weeks of spring training. So I don't know if he's going to get any starts in because it's on his non-throwing where the glove is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how is it? And I think we've mentioned this before, like, you've seen weird injuries in other sports, but somehow baseball has cornered the market on crazy ass dumb injuries. Yeah. I think that it's maybe because the season's the longest, so there's more coverage of these guys, of course. But also, you know, they play 162 games, so if they wake up feeling bad, you know, if someone wakes up feeling bad on Tuesday in the NFL, nobody cares. Like, that's not going to get reported. But if you wake up on Tuesday in baseball and you can't play that day, people are like, well, why isn't he out there? You know, yeah. So it's just so much stuff going on. But this is crazy because it's like camp hasn't even opened. Their guys, you just said Manny Machado hasn't even shown up yet.
Yeah.
So there are guys that haven't even reported yet. And we already have a injury chasing a dog and falling on your basketball
court. How much Madison Bumgarner is probably laughing even. He's laughing at that one. He's like, yeah, you loser teammate. Another injury, just since we're talking about it, Alex Verdugo, they're saying could miss the start of the season. This is a new
feelings.
This is, well, I don't know, but this is a new piece that obviously the Red Sox didn't care about, like, in all the injury concerns, nobody cared about this one because they wanted Verdugo regardless. That, you know, he missed, I think, the latter portion of the season, and he's going to miss, like, you know, the first 3 months of 2020 for a back issue that no one's really talking about. Yeah, I mean, he was hurt in the back end of last year, and it was the last 2 months of the 20, or they mean that it's on Roto World. They're saying the 2020 campaign. They mean the 2019 campaign he missed, and then he's going to miss spring training and could miss a part of this year. That's a bad sign walking into this year for fantasy owners because Verdugo went way up. So this is something to monitor.
I hope that Gratterall plays more games than him. Wouldn't that be the best?
I mean, that would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. So you got to be on the lookout for that because, you know, missing the start of the year could turn into a lot longer with a team, with the Red Sox, who are not necessarily competing. And that's something we get in the first day of reported stuff. So lots of news coming out there. We got a bunch more to talk about, so don't go anywhere. More In This League right here on Sports Grid coming up.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
In This League.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
What's up? We're back. It is In This League, ITL on the Sports Grid. It is Bogman. It is Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. I just put my Padres tweet out the other day, so if you want to go check that out and all the other stuff that's going to go on during spring training. We will try to get you insight wherever we can. And if you want even more and you want to support your boys, patreon.com/ITL Army. That is a place where you can get access to all the stuff we do. We've got secret comedy shows, group me rooms. We've got ranks from prospects to dynasty to redraft. It's all up there. And you are directly supporting Bogman and the Welsh. Money where your mouth is. That was the analogy
money
I didn't
where
like
my mouth is.
The other day. I didn't like that analogy. Yeah, money where your mouth is.
That's what I want.
With a big old cheeseburger. A cheeseburger that's not...
I gotta go to White Castle, by the way. I still haven't gone.
Yeah, but aren't the lines still like 80
people? I
don't
think they were that bad. I'm. You know what? When we're done, I'm gonna go look.
Yeah?
So I got some more medicine. So I'm all set.
Okay, so White Castle is going to work better with your medicine.
It's going to be like Harold Kumar.
It's kind of a prerequisite.
It's going to be one fat white guy. So
yeah, well, enjoy the hour wait that you're going to have on there. But a lot of those burgers this season with the Diamondbacks, because it's all salads for you.
Yeah, it's salads and a mile on the treadmill for every run that the Diamondbacks lose by. So they lose by 3 runs. That's going to be 3 miles on the treadmill the next day for me. I'm going to try to run, but obviously I'm fat. I haven't been running for a long time, so I'll run, jog, walk, whatever I got to do. I just hope they don't, lose opening day by like 20 runs or something. Yeah, so
probably will, probably with our luck. A lot going on in baseball. We're kind of talking about the opening weekend of reported stuff. Games don't start until next week, But it doesn't mean there isn't news to be had. Players are getting their first kind of looks into camp. I told you Chris Paddock threw on Thursday when I was there. Tatis Jr., there was a lot of speculation about his health, and there was this conversation that came up before the first full practice that like someone asked him, and he said he was open to play in the outfield, and then he happened to go work in the outfield a little bit. When I was there, that did not happen. He looks fully healthy, and he was at shortstop, and he looked great. And he looked great throwing him and Jerks and Profar. So we're getting a lot of these, you know, little pieces and nuggets we're going to get over the next week of what we're going to be set up for when spring training starts. But one interesting note that's still floating out there, because I had been saying how I kind of feel like the majority of teams, you're not going to do a lot of blockbuster trades pre-spring training. You kind of want to have that done. You know, you want to open up camps. You kind of want to be set. Doesn't mean trades won't happen, but you're just more likely to do the big team altering stuff before spring training, except when it potentially comes to Nolan Arenado. And I forget the GM, the dude with the Rockies, was asked, I think, on the first reported day where everyone reported on the 11th, and they asked him about Arenado, and he was real short with it. He kind of had a comment of like, you know, I don't have anything else to say about it. Whatever's been said has been said. Next question. Like
Jeff Brittage, by the way. That's who it is.
Who, Jeff Brittage?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was super short about it, and it was, I wish I could pull up. How do you spell it? I want to pull up the actual.
B-R-I-D-I-C-H.
Yeah, people are tweeting about him. So where was his? Okay, here it is. When he was asked to comment, this was on the 11th, on Arenado, these are his exact words. They said, what would you like to say about the situation? He said, quote, nothing. There is no comment. I haven't had any comment to this point, so we'll move past that. Next question. I mean.
He next questioned him.
Is that the essiest GM comment on your star player that you could ever hear? Dude, what that does is that.
I mean, why are you surprised that they're asking about the best player in franchise history?
Well, because you have drama. You have drama around the best player. And the GM didn't. You know what the GM's supposed to do if the situation can be mended? Hey, man, you know, it's a lot. It's business talk. You know, it was business stuff. You know, we love Arenado. We're excited for him to be here. No, he didn't say any of that. He said, there is no comment. There's never was a comment. Next question. That shows you how nasty that situation is. And then a report dropped, I think a day or two ago, that you found on Arenado linked to the Cubs. So why don't you read that article and whoever it's from?
Yeah, this was from NBC Sports. Tim Stebbins wrote this, and he was talking about Dave Kaplan during his radio show on Wednesday. And these are the quotes from me. He said, the Cubs are absolutely motivated to acquire Arenado. And then Kaplan said, I was on the phone with someone in Colorado Tuesday night who covers the Rockies. He said to me, hey, dude, let me tell you, these discussions are real. Arenado absolutely wants out of Colorado, out of the Colorado Rockies organization. And he's made it clear to ownership, I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. He said, I'm telling you, the Cubs are absolutely motivated to try and get him 100%.
What's interesting about that, and you can kind of see correlations. I don't know if people pick up on this stuff, but, you know, the Cubs and the Rockies are both here locally. It is easier for these teams sometimes to pull off these big type of complicated moves when they play in the same complex. It doesn't mean the Cubs wouldn't trade with the Astros or, you know, the Braves wouldn't acquire Arenado. But
you see tons of trades do go down when the GMs are, you know, like when the teams are playing
each other.
That's
what I'm saying, dude. Royals and Padres, they're 20 minutes away from their facilities and they're in different divisions. But, and you know, I mean, AL, NL, that type of stuff happens. But the Cubs and Diamondbacks facility is literally a 15-minute drive away from each other. Sloan Park, Salt River Fields is 15 minutes. So I'm saying because the Diamondbacks or the Rockies play at Salt River Fields. So if those two GMs and those guys want to secretly meet, they can do it in a heartbeat. They can do it multiple times over instead of being over a conference phone and all this type of stuff. So I'm not saying that means more. But if you are getting in, if there's inside stuff out here that says, A, this trade stuff is real because Arenado is going to be a problem. And if the Cubs are actively after it, I think there's some stuff under that that could make a lot of sense for them to make the move because the organizations can easily talk to each other. They get to scout each other, see each other. It is a lot easier for them to make a move at this juncture because GMs they don't want to step away for 2 or 3 days to try to get trade talks in and do flights and Arenado's got to fly here and fly there. No, man. All the management for the Cubs is here in Phoenix. They can do a 15-minute drive to Arenado and talk with him. So I add some of that stuff and think it's real. And frankly, the Cubs are trying to get out from under Chris Bryant right now for some reason. So this just blatantly reeks of a Colorado Arenado Bryant swap, which was kind of rumored at one point, but it seems real.
Can you imagine Chris Bryant, Colorado? I mean, that's going to be so much fun. But we have also a tweet from Les Shapiro, who is the co-host of the Afternoon Drive in Colorado on the Mile High Sports Radio. And he says, have verified with two sources now, one close to Nolan Arenado, one close to the Cubs. Theo intends to continue pursuing a trade. Return in all likelihood would be Chris Bryant and a prospect, with the Rockies picking up part of Nolan's part of his contract. Nolan is still very unhappy with Brittich and the direction of the Rockies organization. I'm told he would warmly welcome a trade to the Cubs. The Cubs will continue to pursue this trade throughout spring training. So,
I mean, that would be wild if that went down. I could see it. Like, at one time, I kind of didn't see, because there was talk of, like, could they do a Bryant for Arenado trade? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, is Bryant's contract up after this year?
I think he would. I'll look it up, but I think it's really close to being done. So.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. I got it. It's arbitration eligible next year and then a free agent after that. So,
okay.
You know, you'd still have one extra year of him. That's why, you know,
but I think if you're getting rid of Nolan Arenado's contract, that's the thing that's been hamstringing them, you know, so they could give Bryant a decent contract, obviously not $35 million a year like they gave to Nolan Arenado.
Bryant is 18 right now. Bryant is getting this year.
Give him 25.
Okay. You know? Well, I mean, that could be, he's making 18 this year. So they would shed, you know, what is the stupid math? That's $17 million off of this year. Let's say the arbitration goes up into the 25s. They're still saving $10 million next year. I'd have to imagine
they are in that deal. They said they would be picking up some of Arenado's contract too. So who knows?
Well, because he signed, through 2026. And then, it depends on the prospect. It'd be interesting if probably not a Nico Horner, but, maybe there's a Brennan Davis. You know, the Rockies might want kind of one of those more impactful prospects. Maybe it's even a little bit lower. I think there's some really, really true legs to this, even though it seems so unlikely. There's these little tiny factors that float out there that can help this along. Like I said, complexes are very close. All the people are around each other. They can talk. They can have these open meetings. And Colorado is doing nothing to make it feel like it's not going to happen. Like that quote, when I saw that quote, I was like, damn, I cannot imagine that Arenado walks out of here with that. And what would be so good for the Cubs is trading Chris Bryant is going to be a tough blow for that organization, for fans to deal with. Bringing in Arenado, nobody will care. Like, everyone will shut up immediately about it.
Yeah, I mean, you bring in, a perennial MVP candidate, you're definitely going to not get the reaction that you would if you traded him for, even if you trade him for the Rockies and you trade him to the Cardinals, which is another part of this deal, which is why the Cubs are going in on it, because they're afraid that the Cardinals could end up with him if they don't. You could bring in Gorman and a bunch of their prospects, and that deal in the long term could be better, but it doesn't matter. It still doesn't look good when you're trading one of your most one of your biggest players. So that's definitely a factor in this deal as well.
Yeah, and it's weird because I think I was saying, like, Arenado seemed like the least likely of all of it. It just seems so difficult to do. But this is one of those few circumstances where it's like, there's still a big difference contractually between them, but it's not that much. I feel like they can get this to work. I feel like both teams can get this to work. And with insiders talking about it, I don't know how long it takes. When was that last report that the last tweet you saw?
The tweet was on the 11th and the article was on the 13th.
So. Yeah, so it's kind of quiet. Well, we're going to have to poke around at the complex and see what's going down there. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, more baseball. There's rule changes and there's someone that doesn't like the rule changes, and it always puts us in a tough spot. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
In this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
All right, we are back. It is In This League right here on the Sports Grid, the three-hour edition of In This League on the radio, and we give it to you guys every single week. A different take of ITL. Some even say, Bogman, some of their favorite stuff that we do is right here on the radio show. Is that a compliment or a slight to our other stuff?
I think it's just this is different. We can't repeat ourselves on everything. We try to be a little bit different. So this is probably a little more. This is probably a little more entertainment based than fantasy based. But
also topical based. Like how about this? The Houston Astros, they reported to camp, and they finally confronted the cheating allegations. And let me tell you. Didn't go over well with anybody. Yeah, go ahead.
Jim Crane was talking about, I feel like Jim Crane feels bad about this stuff. The owner of the Astros. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But it feels like because he's having them do all this stuff that it's coming from a real place from him. But this feels like when, you've probably had this, when you make your son apologize to your daughter. And he's like, sorry. That's what it feels like. It feels like the players are little kids getting scolded by a parent and being forced to apologize for something they're not actually sorry.
And what I do, by the way, is I immediately go, I'm like, that's not an apology. That doesn't work. That doesn't count. That is not an apology. Try again. And then we do it until they go with it. It was messy overall. Jim Crane, dumbass comment. We won the World Series and we'll leave it at that. No, Jim. Hey, Jim, we're not going to leave it at that because you won the World Series because you cheated. You cheated. Now, is it the only reason you won the World Series? No, but it's across the board. And people are just done because the accountability is like this was the chance for the accountability to really go through the roof. Now, would it be accepted fully? Probably not, but no one's going to walk away feeling.
It's never going to be accepted fully, yeah.
But you could win some people back. But if they could really be, if you could really get into it. George Springer was talked about it, and, he's just kind of like, this sucks, and I kind of feel bad for the game. It was a lot of, I feel bad for the game of baseball. And Jose Altuve was up there, and Alex Bregman, and they were just these not taking the full blame, they were responses of being like, yeah, we feel bad and it sucks for the game and we wish we could change things. And it's like, no. How about like you guys cheated, you cheated the game, and players are pissed. By the way, here's a couple comments I found from other players that popped up on Thursday. Here was Chris. Let's see. In 2017, the Astros told Chris Archer he was tipping pitches. At the time, he believed them. Now he knows they were willing to do anything to win. He said, quote, "It sucks when you dedicate your whole life to something and somebody's out there doing some shady S like that." Whit Merrifield, our boy with the Royals, was asked today. Let me find this. Where did that comment go? Of course, I just lost it.
he's been pissed off because he thinks that he should have been in the All-Star game ahead of Jose Altuve, and I bet he lost a bunch of money because he wasn't.
Whit Merrifield said the Astros scandal discredits everything that they've done. He really didn't hold back. One of his quotes was, "I have no interest in hearing about them. I have no respect for those guys anymore." I mean, you want to see how much this has divided baseball? There you go. He said, "I used to really respect those guys and respect their games. For me, I have no interest. I don't want to hear from them. I have no respect for any of those guys anymore." He said, let's see, reigning back-to-back leader hits, described as one of the biggest advantages a player can have as a hitter, and called it blatant cheating. And he said, "I know what MLB's report came out and said, but that doesn't mean they weren't doing it last year or in 2018. He says, "As baseball players, we're a fraternity. We know people throughout the league. We talk. We know they've been doing it for years." I mean, this is baseball's worst nightmare when they thought they could get through it. The Astros make a really garbagey statement, and players are not letting it slide, and players are pissed.
Well, and also, when is the appropriate time to give an apology? You know what I mean? The first day that spring training opens up, when most people still aren't paying attention. I mean, look, the hardcore baseball fans like you and me and a lot of people listening right now will sit here and go, "Hey, football's over. The Super Bowl's done. It's officially baseball season. Camp opens up. You're there what day two taking pictures and all that stuff. And we've bought tickets to games. We're ready to go." But most people are asleep on sports until March rolls around. Then when the spring training games really kick into high gear, they start paying a little bit of attention, get their fantasy drafts in, and then obviously baseball starts late March, early April. So let's do a weird semi-small press conference. And it looked like it was in front of picnic tables with the wind whipping around in Florida, probably blowing into the microphone. And they're sitting there like little kids. "Yeah, sorry about."
They're sitting in their little chairs. They're like, "Yeah, it's kind of a bummer we got caught. And, you know, everyone knows now. And like, we're sorry."
So sorry. Yeah, they're like the BP guy in South Park. Sorry.
Sorry, everybody.
We're sorry. And this is, I feel like all this other stuff, they're trying to overshadow, this incident with. They're trying to talk about the rule changes. Let's get a big trade in the middle of the season. Let's do a playoff proposal that a bunch of people aren't going to like. Let's do that to get us talking about that instead of talking about the cheating, because this is a giant deal. Like, this is the next thing that happened in baseball after steroids. It is.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what's worse? What's worse about it is take Trevor Bauer for a minute. Like, we both just don't like Trevor Bauer.
You take him.
Yeah, you take him. Anybody else take him. Like, here's the problem, what conflates it. Like, he has these moments, you know, and he has this reality. He also has a version of self-awareness where, you know, he talks at a real point. He's like, "Hey, man, listen.
He's not an idiot."
Well, yeah, we're not a commodity. You know, we suffer anxiety and stuff and blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, he does that. And then he also S-talks his own teammates, trashes fans, and then makes rap songs trashing people. And then also talks that women are not allowed to, like, ask him questions and women can't acknowledge their dating and all this nonsense. They can't talk. I mean, like, it's like Asperger's. Like, he's an unlikable person who's also shrouded in good takes. Like, he has good reality takes. So, I mean, guess what? He's a person. Just like me, there are likable and unlikable aspects to him. But he's one of these guys that twofold is showing what is so wrong with baseball. One is he's another piece that is screaming about baseball. The worst thing I said, Bobby, you remember me saying this months ago when this happened. The worst thing that can happen is when baseball starts eating itself from the inside. And I thought that they would come out with a further bigger report that baseball would try to take the blame and take the hit so the players wouldn't be against each other. So the worst thing that could have happened is right what's happening now. The players are rioting. Whit Merrifield going in on them. Players left and right. Chris Archer. Everybody is pissed. They don't respect the players. It's going to be huge drama. Then on the other end, you've got Bauer, who's not only talking about it, but then they're making all the worst decisions. They want to change the structure of the playoffs, add more teams, and then
I don't think they want to do that. I think that is something they bring up to have a different story from this cheating scandal. That's what I was saying before. I don't even think that's real.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. But you take that, and then you give Bauer really interesting points. And this is where I think baseball needs to take a quick left turn to fix this, because like Bauer, he made this video that's on his he owns this company, by the way, called Momentum. All his videos are out there and people are like, hey, look at Bauer. It's like, he's creating content, guys. Like, he's going to do this stuff on there. And he goes in and he rails about, you know, all this stuff, but he points out really good things, how baseball is literally the worst marketing sports company out there. Like, they ban people from sharing videos and GIFs. They don't do a good job marketing the players. They punish players for having personalities and, you know, the shoes he brings up, which is a great point. Like, baseball is eating itself from the inside, and they're also still fighting against all their players to have personalities. It is a weird, if anything, the only positive run for baseball right now is everybody is here to watch the train wreck.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's
everyone's slowing down to see the accident on the side of the road. That's what people
it's
want.
It's not
right
even
now.
Fans. It's a bunch of rubberneckers. Right. Yeah. So which is just I want to murder those people on the road. I had one of those the other day where they're looking like, why is the traffic slow over here? I'm like, who cares? Drive. Jesus.
But the second to last spring training game is going to be the Indians and the Astros. I guarantee you no Bregman or Altuve in those games. I guarantee you no Bregman or Altuve. But next week, these players are going to start going, and like, we're going to see some anger. We are going to see some team. There's going to be retaliation, and it's furthermore because of this half-assed apology. This half-assed apology, they sat
and
down and they tried to
what's going on with the Red Sox stuff too, by the way? Like, the Red Sox stuff, they said, oh, well, the investigation is delayed. What? Why? Honestly, I would rather get it all out in the open now, do all of it now, so you don't have it recrop up again later when you announce the Red Sox punishments. So, because they're going to have a lot of the same stuff that the Astros went through, because Alex Cora was a manager there and brought the same stuff that he was doing in Houston to Boston, and they won the World Series the next year. So
it's crazy. It's
nuts.
Is there a likable GM in baseball between the Rockies and then Jim Crane? Like, yeah, we won.
Hayes.
Get over it. Mike Hazen.
Very likable.
Theo Epstein. I like Theo.
Yeah.
Theo's good. All right. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. Into sleep.
To light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Well, said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way.
Stop touching things.
It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. Last segment of the hour. Hour two coming up here. Bogman Welsh on Twitter at Is of the Welsh at Bogman Sports. You can also, how about this, Bogman? At Bogman and at the Welsh on Venmo. If people want to buy us drinks for spring training or something. I don't know. If they want to do something nice. What do we
just
need?
Just throw it out there.
Yeah,
you know.
Just throwing it out there. What's something that's going on? I might be sick. I might need some Tussin or some Claritin if it's allergies. Bogman could probably use a burger.
I could always use a burger, but
how about for my hard work on the backfields? How about that?
There you go. Buy him a, you know, you could definitely use a new thermos or whatever, right? So I believe I took the last one into the bathroom and took a picture the last time you were with me.
Red lamp and my thermos. That's all I need in the world.
It's a reference for old people. Us old people. We are in the old people range now.
I don't think I get that reference, by the way.
It's the jerk.
Just need my thermos. Oh, okay. Yeah, my thermos and this lamp.
The jerk. Maybe I'm older.
I mean, I remember the jerk, but you like way more than I
do. Yeah, I do. It's like those old like 70s to 80s comedies. Like I've watched them so many times, from The Jerk and Spaceballs and, you know, that type of stuff.
You know which one's underrated? Three Amigos. Uncle Buck.
Oh, I haven't seen Uncle Buck in a long time.
Uncle Buck is great. And another John Candy one, The Great Outdoors. You remember The Great Outdoors?
A little bit. But see, John Candy wasn't like, obviously Steve Martin, as I'm rattling off some of these, I love Steve Martin. So like the Three Amigos, Three Amigos is probably, okay, Spaceballs is like number one. Three Amigos was fantastic. And for whatever reason, my family let me watch The Jerk whenever I wanted, for whatever reason. And those are what I grew up with and probably what screwed me up a little bit. So, but I think I kind of like, in the time where the Uncle Bucks and stuff were, I would still kind of go back to those. Like Three Amigos to this day, I still think is just genius.
You know what I watched the other day and I didn't realize, because this was one of those like, I had it when I was a little kid and I watched it over and over and over like you did. You know, wear out those VHS tapes. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, that I used to watch that all the time. I don't think I've seen it in 15 years.
It's on Netflix now, so you're welcome.
Okay, wait, which one was Prince of Thieves is the comedy one, right?
No, that's Men in Tights.
Okay, because Men in Tights I saw a million times over Prince of Thieves. Prince of Thieves was with Costner?
Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Costner. And I just like, you realize when you're watching it, you know, when you're a little kid like that, you don't really understand what's going on in the story at all. You know what I mean? So watching it as a grown ass adult now, because I don't think I've seen it since I was like maybe 15 or something. Watching it as a you know, an adult, you're like, wow, this has way more layers than I thought. And why wasn't Kevin Costner doing an English accent at all?
Yeah, like, not even trying.
Didn't even attempt it.
I like that. So I mean, I've had the same. I've told the story when, I don't know if it was Disney Plus or just like Netflix Kids one night, you know, nostalgia hit. And I was like, oh, man, with my son, who's like 7 years old. I was like, that's Harry and the Hendersons. This is a great movie. And you know, if I say it's a great movie, he's like, let's watch it. You know, I still have that for a couple more years. And I'm like, cool, we watch it. And then like, it's kind of dark. You know, the dude's just trying to kill the Harry and they cuss a couple times. I'm like, I forget 80s movies and 70s, like a PG movie could still say the S word. And that doesn't fly as much as it, you know, it would now. But it'd be interesting to, because I'd say the same thing applies for what's the other one? The comedy.
Oh, Men in Tights.
Men in Tights. Like that probably has stuff, you know, as a kid, because we were kids when that came out, you know, that we didn't quite register, but we knew it was funny. You know, Dave Chappelle is the whatever. He's one Blinken. Of the characters. Link, yeah, exactly. It would be funny to watch both of those back to back now, and kind of like to what you're saying, and be like, wow, I didn't understand this when I was a kid, or this was inappropriate, because that doesn't happen as much anymore. Everything is very, you know, PC. Everything is PC.
Well, yeah, everything's PC. Then they're never, you know, I'm just kind of surprised with all of the killing and stuff that I got to watch that, because my mom in general was very against the violent movies. Like I wasn't able to watch RoboCop or Terminator or any of that stuff. But
I saw all of them as a kid. My mom, my mom wasn't really paying attention to what was going on.
Color of Night didn't matter. Color of Night, one of the most sexual movie you've ever seen.
What was that one? I don't remember.
That was the one with Bruce Willis and the girl that had multiple personalities. She dressed up as a guy. I don't know. I think it was like 11 or 12 when that came out.
I'm pretty sure my mom rented barbed wire for me. So, and I don't think that was an issue.
I remember being 12 years old. I went back to Houston after moving out here and visiting my cousin. And I tried to buy barbed wire at like a Hollywood Video or something. And they rang it out. And the girl who was ringing me out was about to sell it to me.
Oh,
and the girl behind her goes, that's rated R. You can't sell it to these kids. I was like, oh, come on, shut up, lady. Like, I'm just thinking that in my head. And she's like, just tell them it's rated R and give them their money back and scare them off. And I was like, damn it. Like, so she had to give me my money back. Yeah. So I couldn't buy barbed wire. So, and I was definitely in that boat as well. So yeah,
that's our parenting.
I don't know how we got here.
We were just getting there. The culture. You think Trevor Bauer ever saw any of those movies? I feel like he wouldn't have.
I feel like he's the fun police now, right? Yeah. I mean, well, there's some stuff going on.
I'd say he's to your point. He's there's a part of the fun police. I don't know how to describe it. He's not the fun police because he's the inverse. Like, he's the dude that wants to go out and be a white rapper, and he wants to play with drones. And he is right. I mean, whatever about those, but he is right about the things that he said in his comment to the commissioner of baseball. That's what he was attacking. He's right that MLB doesn't know how to promote. They wrongfully push back. They've got old, stupid rules that are hurting the progress of baseball right now. It's old, I don't want to say old white men, but it's just old idiots that don't understand what's popular now. Like, are shoes the biggest thing to me? No, though I do love my Nike shoes. I do love collecting Nike shoes. But guess what? Kids freaking love shoes now. Like, it's bigger than it's ever been before. So guess what? Cleats are a big deal, and people get all jacked up when someone has some cool, like, you know, Joker type of a cleat. How many times do you see football players and they're getting featured in games about that? Guess what? You can't do that in baseball. Baseball is, as Bauer lays out, they give you three colors you get to pick from. That's stupid. It may seem dumb to people that don't get it, but that's why you need people that understand progression. And progression is how do you get kids.
Are you calling Trevor Bauer a hero right now?
No, I'm absolutely not. But he is right about they're inconsequential. Real quick, they're just inconsequential things to like some big CEO that is thinking about these bigger issues and whatever. But guess what? You want to get kids excited? You need to have gifts upon gifts of cool things that happen in baseball. You need to let players do cool stuff like the Players Weekend things. They need to have awesome cleats. They should be pimping homers. That's good for baseball, but traditionalists don't see that, and they don't see it as important to the growth, and that is that's one of the many things that's wrong.
But did you see what he got upset about?
Bauer? Oh, he got upset about the
playoff proposal.
Yeah, the playoff. Yeah, why don't you lay out the stuff?
Well, the playoff proposal, this wouldn't happen until 2022, and right now it's just a proposal. It would add two more teams per league to the playoffs.
Horrible.
So it'd be seven teams instead of five teams.
Horrible.
So
it's half of baseball.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what the NBA does, and that's like what I don't like that either. I think the NFL has it perfectly. You know, there's two teams or four teams with bye weeks, and that's more than enough in football. Football has it perfect. But in baseball, they want to add teams. I don't necessarily like this idea either, but I do like – this is kind of what you were talking about. They're pushing most of the time, they're pushing back against. Rob Manfred is at least trying to make something make something new, create something new. I'm not saying that this has to be it, but at least he's doing something. You know what I mean? And I don't look, Rob Manfred.
Are you saying Rob Manfred is a hero?
I'm not. He's turning into Bud Selig right now with this, you know, almost turning a blind eye to this cheating scandal. He's not commenting on it nearly enough. It just like Bud Selig turned a blind eye to the steroid stuff. But what I'm saying is, you know, and even Trevor Plouffe came out and said this. He said, why are people so mad about the proposal? One game playoff is nuts. We have that and people have come to love it. I get that people in baseball love tradition, but it's okay to propose things. And that's kind of my point, too. It's okay to at least have a discussion about a change. And I think at least bringing something to the table, whether it's something that you like, I like, or who else likes or doesn't, at least it's baseball trying to move forward a little bit.
You know, the problem is baseball doesn't have an identity that isn't negative. Identity is baseball's biggest problem. What are they doing? Hey, we're going to put this DH, we're going to put that at the NL. Oh, we're going to add more teams. Team is going to get to pick them, like a March Madness type of thing, like a selection show. But guess what? You also still can't pimp homers. No one can have fun. We're not going to do cool jersey things unless we sanction it. We're still subduing the identification of players, letting them shine. It's just baseball struggles with its identity, and like we feel it. You know, let's say like, you know, animals can smell fear. Like if you don't have confidence, people can tell. Like that's how baseball is. Like you don't know who you are. You're grasping at straws, and then guess what? There's all of this chaos around you of player infighting, cheating. It's bad, and there's no positivity. What is the one positive thing that you've gotten in baseball recently?
The one positive thing?
A best shape of our life report?
Yeah, I mean, spring training starting. People are excited about that. That's the best thing.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. They're not doing one new thing. They're like, hey, you know, by the way.
Well, the Mookie trade was interesting. I mean, there's stuff.
Yeah, but after it took a week, and then the Players Association called the teams out for manipulation. Oh, we got to end the hour. We got to go to break. More coming up on This League. In This League. Don't go ahead.